Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having an absolutely blessed day today. How are you doing today, Dan?
Austin, I am absolutely blessed beyond measure, shaking together, running over as my cup cannot tain it, for this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it, because I am in covenant with Most High God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so therefore, no matter what happens around me, about me, or to me, or anything else, I am still blessed of the Lord. And I tell you what, that's the attitude we all have to take every single day, because guys, we are so blessed that we're Christians and we know who Jesus Christ is, and we're not walking around in darkness. I had one of our listeners send me a really good video of Ben Shapiro today. I got it this morning. I looked at it. It's basically talking about how Ben Shapiro, they ask him, you know, why do you not see Jesus? Ben Shapiro is a Jew. Very, very brilliant, brilliant Jew. I mean, the guy's just Harvard Law School grad. Absolutely amazing speaker and communicator and debater. And they were asking him on a talk show why he did not believe that Jesus Christ was Lord. And he went into a detailed explanation, finally culminating in the fact that Jesus Christ did not come as a political figure to rule the world and basically to be king of Israel. And that's why he did not, the Jews did not recognize him as that, and the Jews were not looking for the Messiah to be the Son of God. So I just thought I'd get you to get, you know, we kind of talk about that for just a second this morning, because I've had so many people say, wow, we didn't realize that. We thought they were looking for, you know, another Messiah figure, not a political leader. No, this is a group, this is a Messiah who they want to bring Jerusalem to the forefront of world politics. Just thought I'd mention that. By the way, Jussie Smollett is arrested in Chicago. This shows there is basically a little bit of justice in Chicago, probably not much. And for filing a false police report and disorderly conduct after faking a racist, homophobic attack when lying to the police about it. What's so crazy about this, Austin, this guy could have caused a race war. He could have caused an absolute, he could have had hundreds of thousands of people rioting. Who knows how many people killed because of what he did, all because he wanted to lie, get his ratings up. Smollett handed himself to the police privately either later Wednesday or early on Thursday morning. He's being held for filing a false police report and disorderly conduct. Disorderly conduct for lying? What about all the perjury charges? He is due to appear in court and basically bonded out at 1:30 p.m. on Thursday afternoon. His lawyers released a statement on Wednesday condemning the police. I'm going to repeat this. His lawyers released a statement in the unbelievably corrupt Chicago area and said that they were condemning the police for arresting him. They said he was entitled to the presumption of innocence like any citizen. The brothers Abel and Ola Asuatadio testified against him in front of a grand jury. They said that he paid them to attack him on Chicago on January 29th. He claimed two masked assailants beat him, tied a noose around his neck, and poured bleach on him, yelled, "This is MAGA country," which, by the way, these two guys were black. Smollett's motive for the alleged hoax remains unclear. No, it doesn't. They know exactly why he did it. He was trying to get publicity. It's like when Britney Spears climbs out of a car and spreads her legs and she has no panties on. She knows the reporters are going to be standing there videotaping this when she shaves her head. This is the kind of stuff these guys do in Hollywood. This is what they do. They try to get as much press as they possibly can. However, this one basically backfired on him. They know what the motives are. But the police sources have suggested he was trying to boost his profile. There we go. Now we're telling us. 20th Century Fox are reportedly considering suspending him in light of the rest. Yeah, you think? So to me, this is just another example of a Hollywood lowlife gone amok and basically trying to do something that he shouldn't have ought to have done. And so I don't know. I mean, I find this absolutely ludicrous that this guy's story's been going on for a month now, Austin. We've had to deal with it all, but I'm really, really happy. And we called it out. I called it out the first week it happened. Says, I don't believe this guy. He's lying. And sure enough, a month later, he's being arrested. What do you think, bud?
Well, I mean, we can pretty much thank the alternative media shows like ours and Hagman's and so forth for really calling the truth
out of what
happened with this, because the mainstream media, I mean, they did nothing but support this lowlife. And I mean, the fact that he's only getting felony disorderly conduct is a joke. I mean, there's no conspiracy to commit a hate crime. There's no perjury. There's no falsifying evidence. There's no filing a false police report. He should have at least minimum 3 to 4 felony charges for this, primarily also, too, because of what he was trying to accomplish. That's what they always look at as well in law. What was your goal for this crime? What were you trying to do? What was your reason for committing this felony? And so disorderly conduct is a joke of a charge. I really hope they add more charges on there after they've gotten him arrested now, since, you know, he basically, I think, is in front of a judge, I think, by 1 o'clock today in Chicago. But he's already got two incredibly aggressive defense attorneys. Remember, Chicago is Barack Obama's backyard, and Obama is good friends with him. There's numerous photos all over social media for years of him hanging out with Obama. So they're going to do everything they can to get this plea bargain down to a misdemeanor, a couple hundred hours of community service, slap on the wrist, nothing to see here, go along. But the irony of this is, this was just a normal person like you or I, Dad, and we committed this in a reverse fashion to try to start a blatant race war and conspiracy to commit a hate crime, essentially. I mean, we'd be eviscerated. Not only would the mainstream media crucify us on national television, they would have every felony charge they could possibly think of to charge us with, because at that point, now you got all these charges that you have to try to fight with the prosecuting attorney to get them to plea bargain them down and so forth. This is so easy to get dropped, because they're probably just going to drop this to misdemeanor disorderly conduct or disturbing the peace or some really, really insignificant misdemeanor charge. And again, though, I really hope there's somebody, there's enough individuals in the prosecuting attorney's office and the law enforcement area up there that are really, really irritated with what this individual has done with what Jesse did, and really, really hope they try to go full steam ahead on him, because this he has been made an example of, flat out. I mean, like I said, again, if you had a Trump supporter turn around and do this and claim, you know, a Hillary supporter went and did this and tried to start an entire race conflict, it would be mainstream news, and everybody would be hating on us for doing it, but they've done nothing but try to cup for this guy, and now he's got the guys that they've arrested, the police have them under oath testimony, that they're saying, yeah, he told us to do this. He helped us do it. He had us by the rope. He did everything so we could do this for him. So there are more charges here, in my opinion, than felony disorderly conduct. So we'll just have to hope and pray that the prosecuting attorney basically adds more stuff on once they actually start seeing everything that's happening.
That's right.
Also, too, and other things.
I want to make one more comment about this.
Please.
We've all got to remember that Smollett guy is gay. The gays really, really stick together. I give them credit for that. They're really a tight group. They really support each other. I could tell you multiple stories of people who have been put on Christian TV shows repeatedly, though they're horrible guests, because the host of the TV show is gay, and they bring this person back over and over again because they're gay. I've seen so much of this stuff, it must be making me want to just vomit, be honest with you guys. But Barack Obama's gay. Smollett's gay. There's a huge gay community in Chicago. They have gay community nightclubs, gay community bars, gay community, the stuff that Obama used to always go to, and that's been documented. He's been there repeatedly. These two are buddies, and who knows which ways that we don't want to talk about, right? Like birds of a feather stick together. There's no way this guy's going to get any hard jail time. It's not going to happen. Community service or basically time served or whatever. But this hopefully will ruin this guy's career. I believe it will do that, because this guy is basically just out of control with his own ego. Okay, yeah. Awesome. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What's your next story?
Oh, no, that's absolutely fine. You're 100% accurate on that. And I mean, you see a lot of these individuals that are wrapped up in the Democratic Party, and they have all these friends in high places, and they get away with this stuff all the time. So we have to continue to push for felony charges not to be dropped on this individual for what he did and what he was trying to basically get done and achieve by this. So absolutely. Also, too, in other news, this is something that I've talked about ever since we had this happen down here in Florida and it became kind of national news with the red flag gun law. This is starting to become a very aggressive trend that I warned about last year among almost all the states in the country now. We're seeing literally state after state after state pushing legislation to bring in the gun confiscation order, better known as the red flag gun law. Idaho State Senate stunned their citizens of Idaho yesterday by opening the possibility of implementing a red flag law, despite repeated warnings from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance and gun owners across the state. The Idaho State Senate moved forward with the ill-advised resolution known as SJR 101. basically goes into detail pretty much the same red flag gun law that we've seen in all of our states, including in Florida. And the aspect you guys have to remember with this thing, there is no conviction required to confiscate the gun owner's firearms. This is a huge issue that I have. There is no arrest of the gun owner that has to be actually made. They can either Baker Act them, they can take their guns, they don't have to arrest them. It's very open-ended. There's no indictment. There's usually no notification that the gun owner's firearms are about to be confiscated. The police essentially show up at your door and confiscate your guns. No due process, no charges. They don't even have to charge you with anything. That's the part that I don't like. If they come in and they say, yeah, you're being charged with felony disorderly conduct, brandishing a firearm in public, discharge of a firearm in a public place, blah, 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 you did something really dumb. All right, I knew this was coming. All right, let's get this over with. Okay, we'll go through with it. It's not that. You don't even know what you did. You don't even have to have done anything. All that has to happen is somebody that knows you has to basically call 911 and say, hey, I think John Smith over here is a danger to himself or somebody. He has firearms, and I need you to go do a wellness check on him. And at that point, all law enforcement has to do is get a search petition from the judge that basically confiscates your firearms. They show up at your door, knock on your door, hand you a confiscation order, forcibly come in your home, take all of your firearms, all of your ammunition. And the part that really, really frosts me on this isn't just the fact they're coming in, stealing your firearms with no due process. It's that once that firearm confiscation order is in effect, until it is completely nullified and until it's completely wiped away and everything is either dismissed, you cannot be involved or in possession of any firearm or ammunition, or it is a felony. That is the big issue that I have, because it has up to a year to stay into effect before the judge has the ability to come back in and either reissue it or drop it. So for that year-long period that you're in court, you got attorneys, you're blowing thousands of dollars on all this stuff with the courtroom, with the attorneys, everything, if you simply even get pulled over and have another gun that you did not allow to be confiscated, or you have a box of ammo in your vehicle, at that point in time, it is up to the officer's discretion. He can charge you with a felony for having those items in your possession. That is the part of the law that nobody wants to talk about that is very, very troubling to me. Because it's one thing, it's bad enough to say, we think you're a danger to somebody, we're taking your guns right now because we think you're going to kill somebody. That's bad. I mean, that's no due process. That's horrible. But then come in and saying, if we catch you again until this is finished, any firearms or ammunition in your possession, you're getting charged with a felony. This is, in my opinion, the slow erosion of the Second Amendment right. This is slow, in my opinion, this is going to probably be put into federal law. As we already know, Bubble Boy Rubio down here in Florida introduced this into the Senate. And they want to push this on a federal level because it then will give them the incentive. And remember, in Rubio's bill that he put in for this gun confiscation order on a federal level, it put in that there's literally tens of millions of dollars in grants that are going to be handed out to all the sheriff's departments that essentially engage in this, and they have the highest numbers, basically putting them on a bonus structure. The more guns they confiscate, the more millions of dollars they're going to get in bonus structures and grants from this bill. That, in my opinion, is absolutely egregious and violates constitutional law, because when you're going in and you are monetizing the illegal theft of firearms with no due process and giving carte blanche immunity to sheriff's departments to take your firearms and incentivizing them with grants to do so, you are completely and totally gutting the Second Amendment in violation of the Constitution. So this is a bill cannot go through. This is a bill is not acceptable to me on a federal level. We already have it down here in Florida, right, and it is an atrocity. We've got thousands upon thousands of guns confiscated just in the last year. So if you're up in Idaho, voice your opinion on this. Trust me, you don't want this bill in your state. All of our Idaho listeners, we already have it in Florida, and it's a nightmare, Deb.
Wow, Austin. You know, I didn't realize that if you had a box of ammo in your truck, that if they'd taken your guns, that they could charge you with a felony. I mean, you're not even charged with a crime. I mean, think about this, what Austin just said. You're not even charged with a crime. They come in and they say, oh, your neighbor said that you had guns and that she was scared, or he was scared, so we're taking your guns now. And you're like, what?
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to come on in now. We don't have a search warrant. We're just going to come in and take all your stuff. And we're sorry we're doing this, but it's just too bad. And by the way, if we miss a box of ammo under the seat of your truck and you get stopped again in a year, before this gets settled. We're charging you with a felony. No, you've done nothing wrong. You haven't threatened anybody. You haven't brandished a weapon. You haven't done anything. We're just telling you that if now we catch you, with pretty much anything, with any kind of gun paraphernalia, you're going to prison. And now you're going to be charged with a real crime, and then we'll have the right to keep your guns forever. You got to sit there like a good little bootlicker now, and you got to just shut up and do what we say to do for the next year until you can beg us and plead with us and hope that we will show you mercy and give you your Second Amendment's rights. Yep. We are God. We are the tyranny people, the enforcers of tyranny, and we won't care what you do or what you say. We're going to do whatever we want to do. Guys, this is a yoke that we cannot live under. This is awful. Bubble Boy Rubio, we called him out 4 years ago when we started the show. This is Bathhouse Rubio. This is Gay Boy. This is totally compromised, totally doing what he's being told to do to cover up his illicit past or whatever the heck he was involved in. And I'm going to stop for just 1 second. Listen. If you're gay, or if you were gay, and you've repented and you no longer live in that lifestyle, whatever. It's a sin. It's in the past. It's over with. It's done. It's like any other sin. God's going to forgive you for what you did. It's like committing adultery. It's like lying. It's like, you know, doing things you shouldn't ought to do. Sin is sin. It's missing the mark that God set forth in His Word. So being concerned, like Justice Roberts does, that he's going to be pointed out as being gay, or Rubio, that he's going to be pointed out as being gay, is ridiculous. I'll give Alex Jones credit. You know, when he got to see Rubio in the halls of Congress here last year, Alex basically called him out for asking if he'd visited any bathhouses lately. And Rubio's looking like a little bubble boy and acting like he's all macho. I mean, unbelievable. This guy is a complete and total loser. And he's in the GOP. Again, it just shows you the control of the narrative. This guy is pushing gun confiscation around the world. He's a mouthpiece for the globalists is all he is. He's a Zionist. Here's another article filed in Breitbart. Senator Marco Rubio, the Chinese effort to supplant America has no precedent. I sent this out on if you go to the Health Masters website, if you're new listening to us, we run all these stories on our website. And I put in there on the website, I marked this, I said, Rubio is pushing the mainstream globalist narrative about China now. He's trying to create another boogeyman. They're trying to do this with Russia and with China. We gave China the advanced missile technology to Bill Clinton for their guidance systems. They couldn't even get a missile off the platform without it falling back into the platform and crashing and blowing up. They had no ability to launch anything for an ICBM when we gave them the stuff back in the 1990s. It was 50 years after World War II and they still couldn't launch a missile. That's how far back their technology was. We gave that to them. Clinton gave them the silent shaft technology from our submarines so they could run undetected in the ocean, so their submarines could run undetected in the ocean. Clinton is a globalist. He's another Rothschild stooge. And all of these guys are working together to bring us into a new world order. So they basically give China our manufacturing sector. They give China our most favored status. China wakes up and says, well, we can make this stuff a lot faster than everybody else can, a lot cheaper than everybody else can, and we can really, really create a lot of revenue for our country, and we can really push up our middle class and our wealthy class in China, and we can really make this communist junk that we're involved in work, because we've got slave labor here in these factories. And wow, the United States is so stupid, they're giving us most favored status, and they're not putting any tariffs on us, and we're going to dump a whole globe boatload of tariffs on everything they produce that they bring into China. So we can really, really grow and build our economy and our manufacturing sector, because we're being financed, here we go, get ready guys, by the Rothschild banking cartel that controls the Central Bank of China, and they pump all this money into them, give them a surplus, and allow them at that point to greatly expand their economies and their reaches and their manufacturing sectors. We do it all, then Rubio, Bubble Boy, comes in and says, Rubio told Breitbart News exclusively that China's intense international push for global dominance is the biggest threat that America has ever faced, even more substantial than the one the Soviet Union posed on the 20th century during the Cold War. Hogwash! What this is just all of us being told the narrative to create the energy that they want to control the energy field around the planet to make everything as negative as possible. And then we've got the Q people still running around. Please stop sending me Q information, guys. I don't want to hear any more of it. If you're on my personal email list, don't want to be involved in it, okay? Ann Coulter, Breitbart. Trump is failing. Don't ask me to lie about it. Okay? For decades, voters have been lied to by politicians promising to crack down on immigration. We vote, we vote, we vote, and nothing ever changes. Wage-lowering, culture-destroying policies manage to appear in every bill Congress passes. We finally got sick of it, and we voted for Trump. He promised to build a wall, deport illegal aliens, and end the anchor baby scam. No matter how much the establishment screamed at him, he never backed down. To call Trump's promise to build a wall, central campaign promise, routine makes it routine. That promise was indispensable to his election in a way that no other president's campaign promises ever were. Trump has had none of the qualities voters typically look for in a president. There was little about his character to inspire a nation. Trump's mandate on immigration was the loudest bell ever to be rung in America. Because while I admire people's loyalty to the first presidential campaign to speak aughts, I got to slow down. Too many purple sticks. While I admire people's loyalty to the first presidential candidate to speak honestly about America's problems, what if they're being loyal to a false front? The bill President Trump signed Friday is worse than anything Hillary could ever have gotten through Congress. To mention the two most shocking examples, the bill promotes Trump from using any Homeland Security funds to build a wall anywhere along the border. Only bollard fencing is permitted. And even that is allowed only in one small section of the border with the approval of local authorities. Inasmuch as the local authorities in a particular sector are liberal Democrats, they simply won't allow it. The bill also expressly prohibits the deportation of any illegal aliens who are part of the household or thinking of becoming part of a household that contains an unaccompanied minor. Any illegal alien who claims to be under 18 with no parent in the country. This is why the bill is being referred to as the Pedophiles Go Free Act. Trump and those hoping to be invited to the next great White House Christmas party refers to this as a deal, and basically it's not a deal. It's like the Battle of the Little Bighorn. You guys can finish reading through it. And she basically calls Trump out for this, is what we've already done the other day about this absolute nonsense that now we're calling a victory with this border wall, but he's giving them everything they wanted as far as the status of the illegals and all of the other things that they're doing. It's crazy. By the way, this is an article that Steve Quayle posted. It said, Jesus was a sorcerer. A Bible, a book of magic, says Christian witches ahead of the first annual Christian witch convention. I can't make this stuff up. And again, this is because of the absolute poor teaching that's coming out of the pulpits in the United States that a person thinks they can be a Christian witch and it's okay. In the Old Testament, the Bible really nailed witches with Samuel and all the rest of the stuff. It says don't do, you know, Witch of Endor and all the other things. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. The reason they're saying Jesus was a sorcerer, this is Talmudic teaching, in which the Talmud says that Jesus was a demon-possessed sorcerer who never died on the cross, who died in a vat of sewage, or whatever they want to say on that, and that Mary, the Virgin Mary, was a whore. So now we've got a whole group of Christians who have been dragged into this Kabbalah mysticism, saying that Jesus is a sorcerer, and the Bible is a book of magic, says Christian witches. Guys, yeah, when you read stuff like this, it's almost hard to believe that people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ are this deluded, and they believe all of this nonsense. It's so important that we understand that witchcraft, and this is why I tell you guys, and I've told you this before, I'm going to say it again, don't pray against people. Pray for God's will to be done. Don't pray that God curses somebody. Don't do that. You don't want to do that because you don't understand the power you have when you pray. You don't want to do that. It's like this is what they do. They get into little circles and they try to curse people with their chants and their incantations and their prayers to the goat, you know, or whatever they're praying to. And this is the thing that people don't understand who are Christians. Pray that God's perfect will be done. Pray that somebody gets exposed for what they're doing. Remember I told you guys years ago, I'm not going to pray that Hillary Clinton dies. Don't pray that. We're not to do that. We're to love one another. Just pray for God's will to be done. If it be God's will, allow this to be exposed. And guys, and pray positive prayers. Don't pray negative prayers that people should be killed. But this is crazy. This is where it's gone to now. Now we have all of these churches that are the name it, claim it, blab it groups, and they're going to be inclusive. They're going to say, okay, if you're a Christian witch, come on in. If you're homosexual, you come on in. And guys, I'm not saying a Christian witch shouldn't go to church, but she should get saved to stop doing that. I'm not saying that a homosexual shouldn't go to church, but he should get saved to stop doing that. I'm not saying that anybody who's sinning or doing things against God's word shouldn't go to church. Because if we don't preach to the lost, who are we supposed to preach to? Ourselves, the people that are saved? We've got to try to get people saved for Jesus Christ. But the reality is once they get into a position where they're in an institution, the institution needs to be preaching the gospel and telling people the truth of who Jesus Christ was, and that certain things and certain sins are not considered okay by the Bible. We can't be, everybody can come in. Oh, all the Muslims can come in, and all the Hindus can come in, and all the Buddhists can come in, and we're going to have a rah-rah hoopla ceremony today, and God is good, and he loves you just where you are. Okay, wait a minute. They're twisting scripture. God loves everybody. Now, I personally believe he doesn't like a lot of people, but because God's love is basically, it permeates the universe, I believe everybody falls into that envelope. But I think that's why favor's not fair. You say, what do you mean by that, Ted? God just doesn't care for some people. I mean, you got to think about the abortionist killing babies in the abortion clinic. Do you think God's his cheerleader? Absolutely not. It's an abomination to God. That's why God calls it out over and over and over again in the Old Testament. So God doesn't like that. He said it is smoke in his nostrils and a fire that will keep burning all day. It sounds like you're kind of hacking off the Almighty when he talks to you like that. And this is what, if you read the last two chapters of Isaiah chapter 65 and Isaiah chapter 66, he kind of talks like that. And so this means that God doesn't like this. He doesn't like the sin. He doesn't like the person doing the sin. Now, because of love, because it permeates everything, he loves them, but he wants them to repent. But guys, when they come to a church, they need to be hearing the truth. And again, it's all about building the largest number they can, have the fastest growing church, and accruing the biggest assets they can possibly accrue. And it's just, to me, it's so frustrating because I know so many of these guys and I talk to them about it all the time. And it's like talking to a wall. Though I have had some of them now, they're preaching a lot more about Jesus and they're doing a whole lot better on their altar calls, but they're still not pushing this. So the Christian witch comes to church and she sits on the front row. And she has her little pentagram, and she's throwing curses at you in the pulpit. You both sit there and say, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. No! Nonsense. I rebuke that. I rebuke that spirit of witchcraft. You know, it can't be in the church, and they need to repent and walk from it. I don't know. What a mess. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, no doubt about it. Definitely some crazy stuff. And one thing back that I wanted to add on real quick, and this is something that I kept telling a lot of people as far as with this whole wall debacle, just to close on this real quick. The same thing we've continued to say over and over and over again. The wall is going to be next to useless if we don't change things in the United States when it comes to incentives and it comes to allowing people to stay here and it comes to giving people money and it comes to basically carte blanche anything you want as soon as you get across the border. The wall works for some aspect. Every wall does, every fence does. It slows down any type of invading force. That's essentially the oldest aspect of a wall. It protects the citizens inside and it stops an invading force or at least slows them down. But a wall is only as good as your security team and your protocols are inside of the compound. And that's what everybody's failing to miss about this. I'm 100% pro-wall, love the wall, love fences. They work great. We even down here in Florida, PVC fences, great, awesome stuff. But until you actually fix what's going on in the country and stop giving people literally hundreds of billions of dollars in aid every year, like we do as far as with illegal immigration, incentivizing people to come here, incentivizing people to have literally 8, 9, 10, 12 kids. I was talking to somebody else the other day, and we were joking about it. We were saying, if you got a tax return significantly higher in your refund check was significantly higher than what you paid in, you didn't get your taxes back. You got my taxes back. We've seen this so many times with the Child Act, as far as the Tax Act, where these women, a lot of them are illegal, or a lot of them have anchor babies, and they'll come in, and they'll literally try to work a part-time job, something somewhere, just so they can file a tax return, paying a couple $100 in income tax, then turn around and they'll file 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 dependents. We've seen this. There was even a CBS report years ago talking about this, where investigative journalists went out to the addresses that people had filed these tax returns, and there was nobody there. The home was vacant. They were literally filing false tax returns under somebody's Social Security number, putting kids, in some cases, that weren't even in the country. They were claiming dependents. They were in another country and putting down 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 dependents, getting back $15, $20, $25,000 refund check when they had paid in a few hundred dollars in income tax. That is another prime example of what we allow to have happen here, and it's something that cannot continue to go on if we expect to maintain the sovereignty of this country. Also, too, in other news, more and more countries are starting to apparently look at China with gleeful eyes about their social credit score. Here in the United States now, we've seen internet censorship escalate dramatically over the last year. I think all of our listeners are pretty safe to say it's unprecedented in what we've seen over the last year with internet censorship and with in-person censorship, with what we've seen with political correctness. Talked about that on a regular basis too. But over in China, the government is cracking down even further on online and offline activities. They're saying now if you make a credit card payment late, if you get into an argument in public, if you say something on social media that the communist government doesn't approve of, you're now finding yourself restricted from conducting a whole host of normal economic activities. The primary marketing slogan for the new social credit score system in China is, and I quote, "Once discredited, everywhere restricted." Doesn't sound like it can get any more tyrannical than that. Millions of ordinary Chinese citizens have been restricted from flying and riding on trains just in the last year, of engaging in what they call now as untrustworthy conduct, which I kid you not, if you look at the list on it, it is literally anything you can possibly think of. They can basically put it at that. They're stating now that 17.46 million discredited people in China now have been restricted from buying plane tickets, and almost 6 million have been restricted from purchasing high-speed train tickets. In other words, the Chinese government is banning enormous numbers of people from engaging in just normal economic activities because they did something the government doesn't like. And it ties back into what we've talked about before with Revelations 13:16-8, where it blatantly says, "He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, so that no one may buy or sell except he who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Number 666. This is where this is leading to, guys. You have to open up your eyes and realize this is the main culprit of how they're going to do this, is continually to restrict what people do until they fall in line with their self-censorship, with their social credit score, and then they start coming in and saying, well, if you do this, if you don't have this, we're going to lower your credit score now. And you go, I'm just trying to go freely on my way. I'm not even trying to do anything bad. I'm trying to be a good little communist citizen in China, and now you're still restricting me. Doesn't matter. We think you have the ideas of something that we don't agree with. You're thinking about something that we don't like. We can tell by your body positioning that you're too aggressive and you're not going along with the communist agenda. And you go, but that's not the truth. I like the communist agenda. Please let me eat. Please let me travel. Nope, sorry. You need to be a good little slave. Think about it again for another month and starve, and we may boost your credit score back up again. That is literally what they are doing over there currently right now, and many others are starting to embrace this change. In fact, Bloomberg, the liberal rag, is reporting China's new social credit score is becoming quite popular. They go on to say, and I quote in Bloomberg, "Chinese have already embraced a whole range of private and government services that gather, aggregate, and distribute records of digital and offline behavior. Depicted outside of China as creepy digital nightmare, this network of so-called social credit system is seen within China as a means to generate something the country sorely lacks, and that is trust. For that, perpetual surveillance and the loss of privacy is only a small price to pay." Wow. This is what people have to realize is going on right now. In my opinion, China is the beta test for this. They are literally just warming up with the social credit scores. It is not even fully implemented yet. They said they want to have it completely operational countrywide by 2020. They've been working on it for the last 3 to 4 years now, and it is just getting warmed up. So understand, this is something that they're going to do in China. It is going to spread like a cancer around the entire world once a New World Order globalist government can bring in this type of ideology, because this is what they have to do to bring in a mark of the beast, New World Order financial system. That's it. Because as long as people still have the ability of free speech, like in the United States, as long as we have the ability to own firearms, which is not even the ability to own, it is a God-given right to be able to protect ourselves, and it is ratified through the Constitution a second step further. These are things we cannot allow to be taken from us, because just like Communist China, once you're disarmed, once they start censoring you, once they put a social credit score up, you literally have nothing else you can do except be a good little slave or fall into the black hole that a lot of millions of Chinese have found themselves in now, where they can't eat, they can't work, and they can't travel because they have not followed the communist plan, Dad. And that's, to me, it's better to die fighting than to live in that nightmare, in my opinion.
This is basically Kabbalist witchcraft teaching is what this is. This is just all, this is about a slave state. This is about subjecting the entire population of the planet to become slaves. That's what it is. Forcing, here's the thing, let me tell you how subtle this is. Okay, I post a really good thing about the Chinese government. Oh, all of a sudden I get a plus on my credit score. Now they tell me that I can go to a fancy restaurant and eat, and they're going to give me a fancy seat. And I go, oh, wow, I kind of like this. I post something else positive about the government, and also they give me a doggone free coupon for a plane ticket. And I go, wow, this is kind of cool. And they give me a visa to travel outside of China, and I get to go, wow, this is kind of fun. I come back, I post some more stuff. And now they say, oh, great, now we're going to do this. We're going to give you a big child tax credit, let you have a bunch of kids and give you a bunch of more extra money. You go, wow, I like this. And the exact opposite happens. You post something negative. Now you can't buy groceries this week. You go, wow, this is awful. Post something else negative. Now you take your, they take your car away. Oh, God, now I have no way to even go buy groceries if I could buy them. Now you post something else, they take your bicycle away. You go, well, now I don't even have a bicycle or a car. I'm on my feet. You post something else negative, and now you say, now you can't live here anymore. Now you're on the street with no bicycle and no car, no groceries. And you're like, what the heck? This is what they do. This is Bernays. This is operant conditioning. This is the stuff that was taught to us through Skinner, you know, with operant and classical conditioning. This is all the stuff that came out of that group of people in Europe that controlled the educational system here in the United States now through this. This is operant and classical conditioning absolutely at its finest. You touch that, I'm going to shock you. Zap. Oh, man, I'm not touching that again. Touch it again. Up, zap it. No, I'm not going to do that again. And all of a sudden you go, well, no. We did this with rats. I was taking a physiological psychology class at Florida State, Austin, and we had rats, little white rats, the really cute little things, actually, when you get to work with them. And you could actually teach them by giving them, you know, not letting them have water for like a couple, you know, half for a day. And you let them basically, you know, you could teach them how to walk through a maze, push a button, push a lever, turn on lights, do all kinds of neat things with them. It was really a lot of fun. And, you know, and they just were classically conditioned. And they learned that if they didn't do what they were supposed to do, they didn't get water. And that's exactly what they're doing. Remember, you're an animal. You're a cow. You're a dog. You're just a slave. You're just a bootlicker as far as these guys are concerned. You're a subhuman with different DNA. This is all Rothschild. That's what this is. This is all Kabbalah teaching. This is what this is. It's conditioning the planet to be a slave planet. You know, Alex Jones has on one of his websites, he calls it prison planet. That's what it is. Now they take your guns away if they pass these laws, and they say, you know, by the way, you can't even have a box of ammo under your seat without a gun for the next year, though. You've been charged with nothing. You've been charged with nothing. We've just taken your stuff. And so now if we catch you with anything, you're going to go ahead and go to prison as a felon. This is prison planet. This is operating classical conditioning at its finest. This is Skinner. This is coming right out of Europe. This is coming right out of the Freudian philosophy and the Skinner philosophy of how to condition people to be good little debt slaves. Let's not forget the debt. You can't be out of debt. You can't have your house paid off. Forget having no mortgage. They can't let that happen. You know, you got to make sure you got an 8 or 9 or 10 year car payment now. Make sure you get that too. Make sure you pile on top. Excuse me. I saw a picture today, Austin. In fact, I saved it. In fact, I'm gonna have Harrison post it online. And it basically, this guy's sitting on this pile of stuff. He's got cars and all kinds of fancy stuff, and he's sitting on it like a giant pile of possessions. And he says to himself, why am I still unhappy? Why am I still unhappy? The reason for that is they've conditioned you to believe that you have to have all of this stuff in order to have happiness. happiness doesn't come from possessions. It comes from the righteousness, peace, and joy through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's where happiness comes from. And without having true righteousness, peace, and joy, you never can get enough stuff. You can never accrue enough stuff. You can never have enough money. You can never have enough greed. You can never have enough private planes or private trains or private toys or Lamborghinis or Ferraris and all that stuff. You can never have enough private yachts. It's never enough because you've got a God-shaped vacuum on the inside of you that only God can fill. And you don't get that. And it's until you understand what it means to be saved and born again through the blood of the Lamb, you're always searching for external variables to make you happy. I knew a woman in Tallahassee, and I dated her. And she basically was always looking. She goes, well, I'm not happy. I'm not happy. I don't know who I am. I've got to find myself. And I kept saying to her, you need to know who Jesus Christ is. You need to learn who Christ is. I said, you'll never find happiness because happiness is based on happenings. Oh, I bought a new house. I'm happy now. Oh, I bought a new car. I'm happy now. Oh, I got to go on a vacation. I'm happy now. All these things are fleeting. All of them are fleeting. You know, you're only going to be here for a little while. You better get used to having the infillment of the Holy Spirit. You better get used to being led by the Holy Spirit. You better be used to being in the presence of God Almighty because you're only here for a really short period of time. 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, maybe 100 years. In and out we go. That's what happens is we check in, we check out. And it's by basically what we do while we're here determines what we're going to get in the next life. Now, if you're born again and you're saved, you're going to get that. But guys, there's all kinds of rewards in heaven. I don't know what that metaphor means. I know that there's all kinds of benefits that we have in heaven. And it's all based upon what God sees us do and how we basically bring honor and glory to Him while we're on this planet. Now, we're not saved by works. I don't want you to believe, say that. I'm not going to, that is a fallacy, and that is a teaching that is absolutely anti-biblical as far as New Testament. We are not saved by works. We are saved by faith through grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. But guys, the stuff, more stuff, let me tell you about stuff. Stuff has to be maintained. You know, if you get four or five cars, you got to maintain all the oil and all the tires and all the insurance in those cars. If you got a big house, you got to paint the fascias all the time, or you start having rot around the fascias. You got to pressure wash. You've got to clean. You got to repair multiple air conditioning units. You have to have a person working for you in some cases that basically maintains the stuff. Stuff is okay, but stuff's a lot of work and a lot of responsibility and a lot of maintenance. It's better, guys, to build your treasures in heaven. You know, we're basically it's not going to get corrupted and it's not going to rot. And that's what the Word says. By the way, a new CDC study protocol reveals a stunning correlation between the MMR vaccine and autism. There's a growing shift in the vaccine and autism debate with increasing amounts of data challenging the long-held belief that vaccines are harmless. The shift is no small thanks to the bombshell admissions coming from former vaccine experts finally blowing the whistle on previously hidden or misconstrued information about MMR vaccines. Now, a reanalysis of 15-year-old data from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control revealed that the evidence between the MMR vaccine and autism. It says it proves conclusively that the MMR vaccine causes autism in black boys. It proves it completely, but yet we still are not being told this by the mainstream media because you, the goyim, you, the cattle, you, the sheep, you, the mindless amoeba masses that need to be culled, you have to take your vaccines to make sure that you can't think and make decisions for yourself. By the way, colorectal and bladder cancer risks are lowered by avoiding this toxic chemical. It's not going to be what you think it is, because when I first started reading this article, I was thinking, well, it's going to be sodium nitrite, which will also lower that. But they're saying that one of the primary causes of colon rectal cancer is chlorinated water and how it increases your risk of colon rectal bladder cancer. I knew this from studies that were done with the men in Vietnam who used chlorine tablets and ended with bladder cancer, colon cancer, and heart disease to purify the water from the swamps in Vietnam. But, you know, the use of chlorine tap water accounted for 6,500 cases of rectal cancer and 4,200 cases of bladder cancer, the team reported. This is a major, major health problem. Now, guys, we sell distillation systems at the office. We have the big ones that you can put in your garage and it'll pump pure water to your refrigerator, to the water in your refrigerator tap, and for your ice cubes. That's what I have at the house. We also have countertop models that are considerably less expensive. The big one runs around $2,000. The small one runs around $400. And what it does, it takes all the chlorine, all the chemicals, all the trihalomethanes out of the water and it filters them. If you can't afford that, you need to at least be using a point-of-use charcoal filter, which helps to reduce the chlorine. I won't take the fluoride out. It won't do that. and it won't take a lot of the other chemicals out, but it will remove a lot of the chlorine. But anything's better than nothing. We had a lady last year, they contacted us, ladies have all kinds of health problems and thyroid issues, and then we find out she's drinking tap water. I mean, from a major city. I mean, all the chemicals that are in it. And she was using one of those little survival filters, thinking it was taking everything out, and they don't. They don't. I'm just telling you, they don't. They're good for being basically in a swamp, and you're having to drink swamp water, and you don't want to get giardia, and you don't want to get these bacteria in your system. They'll take all that stuff out, but it's not the kind of water I would want to drink unless I absolutely had to, not something I would drink on an ongoing basis every single day. And guys, it's so important that people understand that and people realize that water is critical for your health. I always tell people, Austin, either you're going to be a filter or you're going to use a filter, because your body, using its kidneys and its liver, if you put a bunch of poison into your system, it has to filter it out. Regardless, it has to filter it out. So it's very, very important that we understand that. By the way, another seizure of meth at the South Texas border checkpoint. This time a half ton of meth has been seized. And U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers seized nearly a half ton of meth, estimated to be worth $12 million. The smuggler Dudley's concealed the drugs within a commercial shipment of frozen strawberries from Mexico. Again, they're talking about, Austin, all of this, you know, border crossing of drugs. It's almost impossible when you start putting frozen shipments of strawberries and meth in the middle of it to try to find this stuff, unless you start breaking down every single container and every single truck that's coming into the United States. NAFTA allowed us to have a lot of these drugs coming into the United States. The problem is the Mexican drug cartels have gotten really smart and really sneaky, and they're really starting to affect now the heroin trade that was being pushed on us in the United States from the Afghan poppy production that's being controlled through the CIA. So therefore, they're actually interfering a little bit too much now. They're making too much money, and that's why they're going after these guys, because they want to be able to control all of it every single time when it comes into the United States through the CIA. Another study just said that Big Pharma is now blocking efforts to halt the opioid epidemic because there's profit in the poison. I mean, come on, guys. There's profit in the poison. They're telling us now that they're basically not allowing us to be told the truth about the opiates coming into the United States, and they don't want us to know. I've posted this on our website. It's from the Daily Mail. And basically what it says is this. Big Pharma is blocking treatment of the opioid addiction epidemic. And it said Robert Feldman is a professor of pharmaceutical law at the University of California. And she has testified before a House committee about the state of the addiction market. And basically in this article, she explains how the companies are blocking low-priced generic versions of addiction medication. This is like Kratom, guys. They're trying to pull Kratom off the market. Pretty much have done a pretty good job of already doing that. Yep. They don't want you to come off of these drugs, and they're blocking the generic versions of drugs that allow you to come off of these different types of compounds. I mean, this is amazing. It says lack of access to addiction treatment drugs like Suboxone, S-U-B-O-X-O-N, can be traced in part to the soaring prices, access problems, and anti-competitive conduct that has become usual as business as usual in the pharmaceutical industry, of course, across the board. And it says pharmaceutical companies have bought tremendous advantages, have brought us advantages in medicine, but they are basically not allowing us to bring other products to the market, which allows us not to be addicted to the other products they brought to the market, like OxyContin. Guys, all of this, again, is being controlled through the Rothschild banking cartel, through their subsidiary markets. They want back when they had the giant opium problem in China, in the addiction in China of the opium. They want us back to that in the United States. It's easier to control a society that's drugged into a stupor. If they could get 30, 40, 50, 100 million people in the United States addicted to drugs, Austin, it's very easy to take their guns away, because they're a danger to the state and to everybody else by having weapons, because they're addicts. Very, very important that we understand how all of this ties together. What do you think, Senator? What's your next story?
That's very well said. I mean, and that makes it easier, too, for an excuse, because as you know, most people, if you've ever filled out a form, you know, background check form to buy a firearm, it asks you on there, are you using any type of drugs? And so they already have it in place to try to use that as an excuse to take people's firearms. Also, too, in other news, this is another study on the importance of D3. So many people email me all the time about D3. Is it really that important? Yes, it is really that important. It was one of the main compounds that was tested on Lana her blood levels when she's pregnant. The midwife is always adamant on keeping blood levels of D3 extremely in an extremely healthy range during pregnancy because it's so important. A new analysis published in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism highlights the life-saving potential of this nutrient after looking at 25 past studies that involved more than 17,000 cancer patients. The researchers determined that people with cancers like breast cancer, colorectal cancer, lymphoma had significantly lower mortality rates when they had optimal serum levels of vitamin D in their blood when compared to those who had lower levels. When they compared the people who were in the lowest 25% of vitamin D levels against those of the people in the highest 25%, they found incredible decrease in the risk of dying from different types of cancer. Those in the highest quarter had 52% lower risk of death than those in the lower from simply having higher D3 levels. They go on to say, and we've talked about this before, optimal vitamin D levels are somewhere in the range of 50 to 80 nanograms per milliliter, which is on blood work. You'll see it's between like 50 to 80. That's the range you really want to keep it in. Contrast this with the levels typically seen in people who don't take supplements like our D3 10,000 K2. Are usually somewhere in the teens. Vitamin D deficiency is an epidemic in the United States now. They're seeing this all across the board when people are getting blood work done. They're coming back in the low 20s, low teens, sometimes single digit numbers in their blood levels of vitamin D. The food we're eating now is not sufficient for nutrients. People have to understand that. I've heard so many people say it over here, I don't need to take supplements. I eat fairly clean. I get all my nutrients through food. That's probably pretty accurate about 100, 150 years ago. But currently today, with big biotech and glyphosate and the amount of crops that are produced and the lack of crop rotation and everything else, these foods are heavily void in the nutrients that we need. And vitamin D as well is also very low because more people have inside jobs than they used to be. There's not as many people working outside in farms, working outside doing things. A lot of jobs are indoors now, so you don't have that vitamin D and that uptake anymore. So it's so important if you're working on your health, if you're trying to keep a healthy immune system, or if you're just overall trying to maintain a healthier body, vitamin D is crucial, and that's why we have it in the 5,000 and 10,000. But I just thought that article was interesting, that because every time you find something, another article, another research study about D3, it's always imperative that the levels stay somewhere of around at least 50 or higher in vitamin D blood levels to maintain optimal health.
Macrophages are the white blood cells that don't work without vitamin D3. They don't work. They have two little molecules under the bottom, little sugar molecules that are like keys. The D3 has to turn and click, basically turn on the macrophages. And without the D3, the white blood cells don't work. That's why so many people get sick up north during the wintertime because their D3 levels go so low and their immune system's not working. The white blood cells, of course, are part of the immune system. They're called macrophages. And what's interesting about all of this is the fact that, you know, studies are now showing that this is a big problem with kids who have autism, kids who have different types of learning disabilities, cancer patients, and all of a sudden we have the chemtrails being sprayed on us all the time down here, so we have massive reduction of sunshine, which we produce vitamin D from the cholesterol in our skin naturally, but if we don't get sun, we don't get that. Plus, it causes mood disorders and depression if you don't have enough vitamin D3, plus a plethora of other problems. D3 is absolutely imperative. Once you get your D3 levels up, you can take one of our 10,000 capsules a couple times a week. That's all you need. But if you're pregnant, you need to be monitoring on a regular basis. Or if you're living up north, you probably need taking more of it. But guys, it's really important that we understand that D3 is essential for all of us. Maduro has basically an article in Breitbart says that Trump's Venezuela speech is Nazi-style message by white supremacists. Okay, let me kind of analyze this for a second. So Maduro, the president of Venezuela, who basically we have crippled their country through sanctions, is saying that Trump's speech is Nazi-style message by white supremacists. Yeah, I understand why he's saying that. I mean, we have destroyed his country through sanctions, which is basically an act of war. I would say it's Nazi-style message. I would agree with that. But white supremacists, no, I wouldn't do that. I'd say by the international banking cartels. And he knows that. He's just trying to go along with that narrative now, Austin, that everybody's going to be a white supremacist who says something that he doesn't like or says something against Venezuela. The problem with all of this stuff is this. The United States is hated among industrialized world, countries around the world. I mean, I've been all over the place. I mean, they see you, they think that you're an American, they get mad, they want to spit. And then you start talking to them and they realize that you're an awake American and you don't like what we're doing. I had a guy in a little town named Gimmelwald in Switzerland. In fact, there's a show on PBS with Rick Steves, and it's basically how he travels the world. And he has this friend named Ollie in Gimmelwald. And we met him one time. This little town has like literally 100 people, and it's up in the Swiss Alps. You have to take a tram to get to it. There are no roads to it. Stunningly beautiful, by the way, if you ever get a chance to go there. And I met Ollie, and Rick Steves was actually staying with him the time we were there. And Rick Steves was sick. And so I want to say hi to Rick Steves, but he said I couldn't because Rick was too sick. Probably didn't have enough D3. Okay. And Ollie said to me, why are you Americans like this? And I said, like what? And he goes, why do you do all of this stuff and do all this and vote all these people? And I said, whoa. But I said, this isn't about Americans. I said, this is about the fact that the globalists have taken over our country. I said, we don't like it any more than you like it here. I said, the difference is you have a different type of government here. You guys don't pass laws without the approval of the people in most cases in Switzerland. I said, we don't have that type of representation. I said, we've got a completely corrupt group of people in Congress and in Washington. We, the people of the United States, have long lost control of the country. We're being controlled by a bunch of basically people who want a new world order. And I said, this is what's going on. And he looked at me and goes, oh, okay. And I sent him a few emails back and forth, and basically haven't heard from him in a long, long time. But I thought that was an interesting story. That even in Switzerland, in the remote Alp village, I mean, I'm talking nowhere. This place is like, you know, it's beautiful though. They got a little hut there. It's all made out of log cabins, and it's a cheese hut. And they actually have aged cheese and raw milk and all the stuff you can just buy and drink it right there, right from the doggone cows and the sheep and everything else they have on the hills. I mean, it's absolutely stunningly beautiful, you know, and it's silhouetted, of course, by the Swiss Alps. And I guess I'm trying to be a travel agent now for Gimmelwald. But I'm not. I love you guys. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. And if you do go to Gimmelwald, make sure you take them. thanks for supporting us. Thanks for listening to the show, and thanks for being part of our family. I love you guys. I had the privilege and the honor again of praying for you this morning. You guys mean so very, very much to me. I thank you that you're part of my family. I appreciate you so much. And thank you for your support. Thank you for your great emails. Please don't send me any more stuff on how Q's a great person. I don't want to listen to it anymore. It's a waste of my time. Sorry about that, but it's the truth. I can't take it anymore. I love you. I appreciate you. Austin, go ahead and close it up, and I'll do the write-up.
Absolutely, guys. And thank you so much for supporting all of us over here at Health Masters. We really do thank you for everything, the emails, the phone calls. If you guys need anything, you know how to get a hold of us, 1-800-726-1834. That's our main phone number. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Eastern Standard Time. And we're trying to do the best we can to not only get the truth and real information out of what's really going on, but also provide you with the highest quality supplements in the world. So be sure if you need anything to contact us or check out the website, the Vitamin C, the Excellent C formula that we have. Our buffered vitamin C is the product of the week. It won yesterday. You guys voted it up, and it won significantly. And so it's on sale for over 10% off right now. So be sure to check that out on the website as well. Vitamin C is another crucial nutrient that the body needs on a regular basis. That is a staple for me. I usually take 4 capsules of those every single day. And so check it out, guys. If you need anything, let us know. You have an awesome night. Have a safe night. Stay prepared. Stay ready. Stay frosty. Understand that at any moment's notice, it can happen. Anything can happen at any time. So be ready for that. Love you guys. Have a blessed day. I'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.